He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar-Hill.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Tuesday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where in addition to learning about a massive bombshell in the world of golf today, which we're going to get to shortly, we now know that number one Wake Forest is going to open its Super Regional against Alabama, not Friday, but Saturday afternoon. Noon first pitch, it'll be broadcast on ESPN. Frankly, we've had enough of the Alabama Crimson Tide on this show the last few months. It's been Roll Tide overload around here, and it all started when the Carolina Panthers drafted Bryce Young number one overall. WD, we were following his every step at the combine in Indianapolis. Then when the Panthers traded for the pick, that sound was played on a daily basis. Is it going to be Bryce? Is it going to be CJ? What was Bryce Young having for dinner in Tuscaloosa at his pro day when the Panthers visited? Does Josh McCown wanting to school CJ Stroud at basketball have any bearing on who the Panthers are going to take at one? Every day for about a month and a half, that's what we explored. And then the Panthers took him, and then it was OTAs and seeing Bryce courtside at a Laker game. And now it's, you know, rookie mini. Before that, it was rookie mini camp. It was his jersey number. Hey, they're wearing black jerseys this week at practice. That looks fire. So we've broken down his every step, and that also included watching a lot of Alabama tape. Watching a lot of Alabama take and listening to tape and listening to takes from guys like Paul. It's a lot of Alabama. But that's the good version of it. The good version of it is you have the number one pick. You took the Heisman Trophy quarterback. You should feel pretty excited about that. The bad version of it is what we're seeing with basketball. The Hornets drew the number two pick in the draft and the lottery, and most mocks have Brandon Miller being Charlotte's pick. Brandon Miller from the University of Alabama. Heck, even a mock draft today from ESPN's Jonathan Givony has Charlotte taking Brandon Miller. But even he acknowledged in the mock, Scoot Henderson probably a better player, but let's talk about fit. And when you talk about Brandon Miller, here's a fun sports radio topic. Let's talk about a murder from a few months ago. That uncomfortable scandal. And Brandon Miller's role in it of bringing a loaded weapon to the scene of the crime that ended up being a murder weapon. Isn't that fun? Now let's talk about basketball fit. Somebody died. How's this guy going to translate to today's NBA? If that's not fun for you, how about we talk about Miles Bridges? I'm sure that would be a lot more fun. So, there's an Alabama situation that's great, right? And then now, Alabama baseball, that's the program that stands in Wake Forest's way of getting to Omaha? Alabama baseball, of course they're coming in. A College World Series appearance is hanging in the balance, starting again Saturday at noon. And what's the big story with Alabama? A month ago, their head coach, who by the way was once a Wake Forest assistant once upon a time, fired because of a gambling scandal. What's going on over there at Bama? You have former football players gambling in the league like Jameson Williams.
Send me that cash out, family.
You've got, you know, basketball players involved in some shady stuff. One guy kicked off the team for actually murdering a woman. Your star player having a passive role, a loose role in what happened that night. Oh, he's not involved in this at all. He didn't violate any team rules. Got it. And then, yeah, you fired a head baseball coach because of gambling once again. We've had enough of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Just about enough. I don't want to talk again about Alabama for a while until football season gets here after this weekend when Wake Forest mops up the Crimson Tide at the couch. On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, if you want in on today's show, that's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show. Will, what are we giving away on today's show?
We have some tickets for Need to Breathe. They're going to be coming to the Greensboro Coliseum.
Love Need to Breathe. They've done stuff with Gavin DeGraw. I was just at a wedding this weekend where the first dance song was a Need to Breathe song.
Is that right?
All in on Need to Breathe. So where are they going to be?
They'll be at Greensboro Coliseum in November. Local. November 17th. We got a couple of pair.
We'll do that later on in the show. Also, speaking of music, it skips or plays with Hayes Day. What's the theme this week?
Alabama.
Oh, really? I'm sick of Alabama, so what's the theme going to be? Alabama?
Well, listen, we were prepping.
Are you going to have Skinner in there? I'm sure.
Maybe. I mean, we were prepping, and I saw how into this you were getting, so I thought, maybe get a little jab at you.
The most undefeated content.
That's right.
Is not smart sports takes. It's bothering the host. Bothering the host is undefeated. Never lost. Transitioning things to this big golf story. This might be antithetical to what works in sports talk, looking at the sports talk format, but when a huge breaking news story, such as the PGA Tour merging with Glyph Golf, comes down like it did this morning, it's better to ask questions rather than to leap to conclusions and spew takes, especially when there's so much uncertainty like there seems to be right now in the golf world, which has led to many people being upset, and rightfully so. This is why we want to bring on, perhaps, the best person to talk to here in the Triad, the executive director of the Wyndham Championship, Mark Brazel, is going to join us in less than a half hour. So make sure you're around for that. We'll get some questions asked, maybe break some news, depending on some of the things that he has to say there. But when I was in journalism school at East Carolina University, I was always encouraged to ask these types of questions. Well, what's the how? How did this happen? What exactly happened? Why did something happen? And usually, you could start to get the picture of what exactly you're looking at when getting those questions answered. And I realized today with this story, we don't have a lot of answers to those types of questions. The timing, the motivation, and the execution of this merger, they are all perplexing. The first question I had when I saw the headline, why now? Why now? It seems like LIV Golf is struggling. It's not really picking up, you know, a lot of traction. There were reports that the teams on LIV Golf were struggling to pick up sponsorships. And the PGA, based on reports over the last few weeks, appeared to be winning court cases, lawsuits that players have filed against the PGA Tour. So why now get in bed with LIV Golf? This is why I want to hold off until things become more clear. Maybe things aren't as great from a legal standpoint as they were couched to be. Perhaps there were some financial incentives. I'd imagine there are for the PGA Tour doing this, because the motivation piece is even harder to figure out. Right now, it's an egg on face moment for PGA Commissioner Jay Moynihan. It is. Like, the players are upset with them. This is supposed to be a player-run sport. They're incensed with them because they weren't really kept in the loop. And he also is getting dragged through the mud by 9/11 families who he used to help shame LIV defectors a year ago, and now you're going to partner with LIV, proving you to be a hypocrite? If you're going to put yourself on the line like that, there better be some financial incentive to do so. But what exactly is that financial incentive? Is it as simple as the same people that were funding LIV Golf, the Saudis, now saying, hey, they've already taken all the heat off of you from a year ago. You see how little people cared after a little while. Why don't you take our money now? Could it be as simple as that? I don't know. Players seem satisfied with the new elevated events. So I don't think it's fear of more guys defecting from the PGA Tour that ended up with this news headline. There, as you can see, there are just so many questions that we don't have answered for such a big headline with a lot of ramifications that are probably going to follow. We don't know what the structure is going to be. Are LIV guys going to play the same events as PGA Tour players? What does the reapplication process look like? Applying for membership for players who had left. What type of punishment might there be for those guys who defected? Will there be any punishment at all? Because it seems that they will have to operate under PGA Tour rules based on this release today. Are some events, maybe even the Wyndham Championship, have to become team golf events? Since team golf was something that was featured in the press release today. The PGA Tour, they kept players in the dark here. Even guys who turned down hundreds of millions of dollars to defend the PGA Tour and go against LIV, talking about Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods, they seem to be in the dark on this, and rightfully, players are upset. We did your bidding. We turned down millions of dollars because we felt that this was right, and we did it on a moral stance, and now all of that feels for naught because you got in bed with LIV. This isn't me saying that the PGA Tour merging with LIV is the wrong thing to do. This is not me saying I'm not taking a stance on moral grounds when it comes to this. I never really did. But it is puzzling. And because it's puzzling, it's fascinating. Why did this thing happen? Why? How? What? These are questions we don't really have many answers to right now, but who knows? Maybe Mark Brazel can help us answer some of those a little bit later on.
You're on the drive with Josh Gray, WSJS.
I honestly don't know where Chip Patterson got a degree. He's from CBS Sports, covers college sports, covers golf. But where I went to school, East Carolina University, the journalism school was big on asking the questions of what, when, how, why, those types of questions when dissecting a big breaking news story, such as the PGA LIV Golf merger that we're looking at today. And I don't have many answers to a lot of those questions when I think about the bombshell that dropped this morning, Chip. What's the greatest question you have right now in response to this news?
How many of the big name stars who left the PGA Tour to join the LIV Golf Tour will be deciding to reapply for membership, as it has been stated in the PGA Tour release, that they will have a, quote, thoughtful process put in place to allow for reinstatement? Would someone like a Brooks Koepka, who just added another major championship to his trophy case and even admitted that had he not had the same injury issues and health concerns at the time that the offer was presented to him, may not have taken that? Does he want to come back to the PGA Tour, or does he enjoy being involved with LIV Golf, or does he enjoy, you know, the schedule, the way the tournaments unfold, this, that, or the other? Dustin Johnson, probably I'm not going to end up saying that about some of the ones on the older end of the spectrum. That's probably the thing that I am most interested at this moment, because a door that seemed permanently shut both by PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan and many of the, you know, prominent stars, I hope they never come back. Now, all of a sudden, that door is going to be open again. I would say, Josh, that the reason that my question that I have is my biggest question is so simple is because the other questions seem unanswerable. And it's because, like, it doesn't even seem like the details are hammered out. This is the like, agreed to in principle of big business decisions. There is so much more work that has to be done, from things as simple as naming whatever this for-profit entity is going to be that encompasses all of the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, formerly the European Tour, and LIV Golf, trying to figure out, you know, are there going to be events that are encompassing all of these that are new that are going to be created? That all seems like they haven't even figured it out yet. So I will stick with what, you know, like, what do all the football coaches say, Josh? Hey, control what you control, all right? We control the controllables, all right? What I know, what has been put in writing, is that stars who left the PGA Tour and seemingly were never going to be allowed back are going to have that door open. So I ask Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, others, are you going to come back?
Who's most angry today?
Ooh. Oh, so the easier answer would be Rory McIlroy.
Or Tiger.
Ah.
$700, $800 million?
I have a theory that Rory, Tiger, in a very, very, very small circle, had an inkling that this was coming, because Rory had cooled on some of his LIV criticisms in recent months. And we haven't heard Tiger be out on the floor. I mean, it's not like Tiger Woods has not spent a lot of time in the spotlight in general, but he hasn't necessarily been on the forefront of attacking LIV golf. And I wonder if they might have had an inkling. I'll tell you, you know who's angry? The golfers who have already taken to social media and talked about how blindsided they are by the decision, how they are upset for the way that they caped up for this tour and now feel like everything that they were doing seemingly to protect the tour has just been thrown into the trash, all the effort, all of those public statements, all those press conferences, and now to just, you know, find yourself in a position where, you know, all that was gone and you weren't even included on it. I'll tell you what, there is going to be the Canadian Open is this week. Those who are playing in the Canadian Open are starting to arrive Monday and Tuesday. There is going to be a players meeting with Commissioner Jay Moynihan. And please, please tell me that those Netflix cameras that are filming the documentary right now as we speak, please tell me that they are going to be in there, because I am not sourcing out to PGA Tour golfers. Again, I'm reading from social media and I'm talking to golf journalists who are talking to golfers. The overwhelming feedback is that members of the PGA Tour felt out of the loop. They feel blindsided and a little bit betrayed for the fact that all the work they did to cape up for the PGA Tour when things were looking rocky, for the fact that they turned down money to go to LIV in order to stay with the PGA Tour. All the talk about legacy, it really just might have been about leverage.
Chip Patterson, he's with us here from CBS, Cover 3 podcast as well, which, transitioning things, want to get into football very quickly. Couple quick hitters here. Who's the trendiest team in the ACC this offseason that you're almost certain you're going to fade when the fall arrives?
I'm not going to go all the way with Florida State.
Yeah.
Because you can find, and I'm actually thinking about this as a story idea for the summer, is just to find the teams, I'm going to call them mystery teams. I'm going to scan all the way to early top 25s, and I want to find the biggest delta. I want to find the biggest difference. I want to find the team that is number 5 in one ranking and number 24 in another ranking. And Florida State might be that team, just because I think the belief is the ceiling is so high. And I look at the thing that Mike Norvell has done with this team that I'm really impressed by and that I think gives Florida State fans real hope is that there is quality depth on this roster, that they have surefire, like you can count on them, power 5 level players all through the 2 deep. And Florida State didn't have that. Offensive line in particular, absolutely cratered in the late Jimbo Fisher era, in the Willie Taggart era. Now, they couldn't even find 5, much less 10. And right now, I think that they've got real quality depth on the offensive line, at the skill positions, all throughout the defense. And so that quality depth does give a very high floor. But I will tell you, because also, it's only Florida State or Clemson. The entire ACC conversation, if you're going to talk about winning the ACC, winning this conference this year in a divisionless format, it's going to be Florida State or Clemson.
I'm proud of you not saying North Carolina there. I'm proud. That's very analytical by Chip Patterson. Now I want to appeal to the emotional. As a Hornets fan, do you want Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson?
Scoot Henderson. It is and it isn't for all of the reasons. Okay? Like, it is and it isn't for all of the reasons. Because the talent is undeniable. You know, like, you're just amazed watching this guy and covering this guy and looking at these huge performances and the way that he can become just a scorer at all three levels. And then at the same time, like, I just... There's something about not just like the decision making process, right? Like, if it's not even the, again, it is, but it isn't. The association with the tragic murder in Tuscaloosa, but it is the fact that you are in position to be associated with it, right? Yeah. Like my friend Gary Parrish had a great line all throughout the coverage of the story as it was unfolded. He said, if you don't have a team rule that somehow encompasses that, because they said he didn't violate any team rules, the cops have cleared his name, this, that, and the other. And Gary Parrish said, if you don't have a team rule that says that driving around at 2 a.m. with a loaded gun in your car is a violation and deserves some sort of punishment, then what kind of program are you running? And so I'll take that forward as a fan and just say, like, from the decision-making process, I do not think good decisions were made in that situation. So it is, but it isn't, for all of those reasons. Give me Scoot.
But at least he had a legal brief from his attorneys that he handed the teams at the combine. At least he had that. I'm sure that was very assuring. Chip Patterson, you're very assuring. I feel assured after talking golf with you. And we'll have to catch up sometime after the Hornets inevitably do not do the right thing and end up with
Are you Scoot over Brandon Miller too?
Absolutely. 100%.
And you could even go basketball. It's like, oh, good. Another scoring wing. Oh, yeah. All right. Like,
I don't want to hear about fit. When you're picking second in the draft, don't talk to me about fit. I don't care. These guys are 18 and 19. Stop talking about fit. 6 years ago, you don't know what's going to happen. We might be playing basketball on the moon, Chip Patterson. To talk about fit for 6 years from now. Pick the best player.
Yeah, best player, Scoot Henderson. Let's go.
Chip Patterson, appreciate you, brother.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
1, 3.
You're on the air.
Wake up with Jeffrey Griffin and Triad today. Weekday mornings at 7. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
We talked about Wake being in the Supers. They're not alone among North Carolina teams, thanks to Duke last night in Conway taking care of that Game 7 and doing so emphatically. So we will get to them in a second. But WD, speaking of not being alone, aliens are in the news. They're in the news, WD, because there's a whistleblower who used to work in like the higher portions of U.S. military intelligence, who is saying that there are spacecrafts. There are non-human origin spacecrafts that have been discovered by the government that they're not concealing, that they're hiding. And somebody just today after this story asked the White House, what's the proper term? Press reporter?
Press secretary?
Yeah, press secretary. Karine Jean-Pierre.
There you go.
The question was, are we alone? And if not, if we were not, would you even tell us? And she gave like a non-answer to that. I'd refer you to the Department of Defense and let them answer that question. I just sent you a video. See if you can play this for me very quickly. Just heard this right before going on air. This whistleblower did an interview. I don't know the network. I'm not big into politics. If this is a news channel, it sounds like a news channel, News Nation. Sorry, don't really follow it all that closely. But I read this story and I've been devouring this stuff because aliens scare me and aliens also intrigue me because for the last year or so, WD, we've learned more and more has been revealed to us than has been revealed in my previous years combined. It just seems like things are being casually said. Yeah, they're UFOs. We've known about these for a long time. And I'm like, wait a minute. You always used to say that this was like crockpot stuff, crazy people stuff. Do you have this clip? This is from the whistleblower. His name's David Charles Grush, Air Force veteran, and was a high-ranking intelligence member who has now become a whistleblower being interviewed on News Nation talking about spacecraft.
These are retrieving non-human origin technical vehicles, you know, call it spacecraft if you will, non-human exotic origin vehicles that have either landed or crashed.
We have spacecraft from another species.
I want to hear more. Can I hear more? Can I hear more of that? I want to hear what his answer to that question was.
From another species.
We do, yeah.
How many?
Quite a number.
You're kidding.
No.
No!
I thought it was totally...
I'm not kidding. Just so casual about the entire thing. We have spacecrafts from another species. Yeah. Yeah, we do. Very casually. The way he said, yeah, uh-huh. That's the part that's most jarring about the entire thing. Where do you stand on aliens, WD?
It's a big universe out there.
I feel like this should be a bigger story than the way it's being covered. Like, I hear about all this other stuff that's being reported. People wanting to talk about Pride Month, and then the reaction. There's the other side of people who don't like Pride Month, and everybody's talking about that. Meanwhile, we all should be talking about aliens.
And the aliens are watching
us. Spacecrafts have been discovered.
The aliens are watching us and seeing all the other things we're bickering about and laughing.
Like, I feel like I'm watching X-Files right now, and I got goosebumps talking about this right now.
Let me hear you say it.
That's not the right clip.
What clip were you gonna play? Oh.
Is Kelsey in on this?
It's insane. That's what Kelsey was gonna say when he walked up on the podium and before Patrick Mahomes interrupted him.
Let me hear you say, oh,
no, 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 he wasn't going to say that. What he instead was going to say was, aliens exist and the government's covering it up. Before Mahomes restrained him. Mahomes stopped him.
Mahomes knew.
Mahomes knows too. That's why Jackson Mahomes is so disliked. People are trying to shut him down. Because he has the secrets. The alien secrets. People really don't like that dude.
They do not.
Yeah.
He's high up on the list of universally not.
Sarah Bradford's not on board when it comes to aliens. And
really?
Yeah, this is something that we never discussed prior to getting married. So I could tell that she like looks down on me once she learned that I believe that aliens exist.
See, it used to be you don't talk about religion or politics when you go out on a date. Add aliens to the list.
No, you need to talk about those things. You need to know what somebody's values are.
On the first date?
Okay, maybe not the first date.
All right.
But that is something that needs to be discussed.
And aliens.
Aliens. Yeah, Sarah Bradford, I could tell. She looked at me as if I was somebody saying that wrestling was real.
It's a big universe out there.
She looked at me as if I was somebody talking about, you know, well, I'm not going to say what I was about to say. Out of fear that
you won't be eating dinner tonight.
No, not that. There might be kids listening to the show.
Oh,
don't want to say certain things aren't real. Not.
I see. We're
not
going
to do that. No, no. I think.
They are real. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Still real to me. Duke, Virginia. That's going to be a fun super regional. Really will be. It guarantees an ACC team that's going to go to Omaha. Wake should be there too. That'd be pretty good if you have a fourth of the teams in Omaha. And familiarity with baseball. You know this because you played the sport. That's what makes it fun. Like, I get excited anytime they throw up the graphic. This guy has this. This is this guy's batting average against this pitcher. I love that. So getting that in super regionals where guys have faced each other for multiple years even with conference matchups at this stage, that's pretty cool. Same applies to South Carolina, Florida, and a super regional. Even though it's in Charlottesville, the Blue Devils, they're not going to be afraid, man. Like, they, last weekend of April, they took 2 out of 3 in Charlottesville. And they scored 26 runs in those 3 games. So, between them, the firepower we saw on display in Game 7 yesterday, and the 26 runs they put on the board in that series a couple of months ago, or a month and a half ago, watch out for Duke. Duke's looking for their first College World Series trip since the early 60s. Virginia, meanwhile, has the most recent ACC National Championship in baseball, and they went to Omaha just a couple of years ago. So really, there is a stark contrast between the two that I think makes this a compelling matchup. And that series, see, Wake Forest is going to play at noon on Saturday. That's when their series starts in Winston-Salem. Duke, Virginia will be at noon on Friday, which... Bad break for Duke. They have to play Monday night, and then they have to they get the quick turnaround going on the road to Charlottesville, that's pretty tough on them.
It's the Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Hayes Permar joining us. We'll play Skips or Plays with Hayes in a moment. We have a poll question out. Which alien-themed movie should WD watch for the first time? And the choices are Alien, E.T., Predator, and Independence Day. Our friend Connor O'Neill has chimed in on the issue saying, I will think less of Will for as long as he hasn't seen Independence Day. Hashtag welcome to Earth. He says, the poll question right now, Independence Day is second to E.T. right now in that running. Hayes Permar, out of those four, the original Alien and Predator, E.T. or Independence Day, which of the four would you recommend WD watch first?
All right, I might surprise you here, but I've only seen 50% of these options. Do you want to take a guess as to which two I've seen?
You've seen Predator and you've seen E.T.
I've seen E.T. and I've seen Independence Day. I've never seen Predator and I've never seen Alien, surprisingly enough.
Wow. So out of the two you've seen?
I recommend E.T. I think E.T. is the classic. I mean, I don't know. That's tough. E.T. hasn't aged well, actually. E.T., coming out of the 80s, E.T. felt like one of the five biggest films in history. It was like Godfather, Citizen Kane. E.T. felt humongous. But decades on... maybe not so big. So I might actually go Alien, even though I haven't even seen it. I think it has more cultural cachet right now.
Where do you stand on Aliens after the news drop of yesterday that there's this big whistleblower who used to be high up in intelligence saying that a spacecraft has been discovered and actually multiple that the government isn't telling us about? And we're seeing more, I don't know if you can relate to this, but it seems to me in the last year, we've seen more stuff leak or been revealed in public channels confirming things that have been suggested for decades upon decades than pretty much the rest of the years of my life combined. Like we've seen this, it used to be, it's the lead singer of Blink 182 and then a bunch of kooks who are saying that this thing has happened or these things are happening. And now it's Congress. Now it's people who have the bona fides. Where do you stand on it?
Well, I think we've got the kooks in Congress, right? I think you just solved the issue right there. It's not that Congress people started embracing conspiracy theories. It's that conspiracy theorists became Congress people. But that's another story. Here's my belief. I used to go, statistically speaking, with all the planets that are out there, discovered and undiscovered, of which there are many, there's got to be a decent chance that there's life somewhere else, right? Although I have now read theories saying, I hear you on that, that statistics would say that, but also statistics would say if it's that likely that there's one or more, you know, other species out there somewhere that we would have seen some sign of them at this point. So I'm still erring on the side of, I don't know if it's taken the same form of as advanced as human or beyond, or if it's just like life in bacteria form on another planet. But just in general, life somewhere else in the universe, I'm betting yes. I vote no on my belief that some sort of form has actually made contact with Earth. Don't believe that. I think that we would know about it.
She's probably listening to my voice right now say this. But yesterday I was reading this story and we've been married, this month will mark a year since we got married. And she, like, this is a conversation we had never had before. We never talked about aliens. So she heard I was reading the story. I told her what I was reading. And she said to me last night, do you believe in aliens? I said, yeah. And she looked at me the same way that someone would look at you if you believed wrestling was real. Like, very dismissively.
Aliens. You believe there are life on other planets or you believe they have visited ours? I feel like those are tremendously different things.
Okay. I don't remember if I asked those clarifying points, but she kind of looked at me like I was a 12-year-old talking about how Macho Man is really in a feud right now with fill in the blank. Now let's get to...
I hope she gets used to looking at you like that. I think it might happen several times throughout your marriage.
Valid point. Now let's get to very important stuff. skips or plays with Hayes.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things. But he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's no friend of Satan.
He was like, oh, six, getting busy with his sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick. I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
And WD, I told him how sick I was hearing about the state of Alabama, and more specifically, Alabama Crimson Tide through the Bryce Young cycle and the Hornets maybe drafting Brandon Miller and all that crap he was dealing with back when he played earlier this year, and there was that scandal. Alabama baseball's coming to visit Winston-Salem this week. So, of course, after I said all that, WD said, how about I do like an Alabama-themed Skips or Plays with Hayes? And that's what he's dug up here.
Bruce Hornsby. I'm going to see Bruce Hornsby tonight in Raleigh. We could have done that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Maybe you could get Bruce to play at the Rialto one of these times.
I'm working on that. Hey, do you have B-Dot on this week? Sorry, before we start.
Yeah, Dot's going to come on Thursday. Yeah, Dot's going to be in here.
All right, have you ever done the term milkman?
No.
Okay, put that on the docket for get B-Dot to ask you. Well, now you'll go look it up.
But
It's going around. I won't even tell you what it's linked to because then you'll figure it out.
WD, but, write that down, and I won't look it up, and we'll revisit that on Thursday. Just like WD, we'll have to watch a movie that we'll talk about on Thursday. This is us teasing a show that's 2 days from now rather than tomorrow. Again, not following the sports radio rules the way we're supposed to. Now let's get to Alabama theme skips or plays with Hayes. WD did clarify it's not just songs by Alabama. He wouldn't even confirm there was a song by Alabama in this. What do you have to start us off?
We will confirm there is no Sweet Home Alabama because we thought that was a little too on the nose.
No Sweet Home Alabama.
No.
Okay, what do you got?
No, that's Dixieland Delight. I was thinking the alternate lyrics. Although I'm sure some SE school somewhere has alternate lyrics for Sweet Home Alabama too.
What's the first song you have then?
Rolling down a backwoods. Tennessee Byway.
There we go.
Alabama did make an appearance.
Holding my lover.
Where do you stand on University of Alabama and Tennessee claiming this song? Their ability to claim this song.
Is that what the fight is? That both of them claim this song?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Because it's talking about Tennessee Saturday night.
Yeah.
But the band's Alabama. The band's Alabama.
I'd have to hear the full arguments. If I'm going to be judged, I want to hear arguments in the proper and formal manner.
Well, I'll recap the arguments real quick. The folks in Tennessee are saying that the song is written about Tennessee. The folks in Alabama are saying the band's called Alabama.
I'm claiming it for North Carolina. Screw those guys. We're taking it. But this is a play. It's a play. It's a good tune.
Hayes Permar.
Yeah, I didn't include the lyrics in there because I don't think the FCC would allow me to do that. What's the next one?
The next one is Alabama Shakes, Hold On.
Oh.
Ooh.
Good bump.
I felt like I needed to at least let her get to the singing part.
The lead singer has a really raspy voice, if memory serves.
Bless my heart. Bless my soul. Didn't think I'd make it to 22 years old. There must be someone up above. Say, come on, Brittany. You got to come on now.
There we go. That's a play. That's a great song. A good tune.
Hayes Permar.
Alabama Shakes has some bangers. All right, you got two plays.
Yeah, I wish I had more to add, but yeah, they're feel-good music. I like them, so that's good song.
No way that WD can mess this up from here.
Absolutely not.
So it's not Sweet Home Alabama,
it's
you
not.
Said. Okay, I don't know what direction you're going to head in now.
But I never
I hope it's Christmas in Dixie by Alabama.
No.
Well, we already did an Alabama song. I don't think WD is going to do multiple Alabama songs. What do you got?
It's Kid Rock, All Summer Long.
It was 1989. My thoughts were short. My hair was long.
Oh, I remember the chorus of this song.
Singing Sweet Home Alabama all summer long. I see what you did there. Cheating.
It's one thing. I'll say in general, I think there's too many like lawsuits over, you know, stolen riffs these days. And I assume Kid Rock paid for these riffs. But it's one thing to, like, rip off one riff and make it, like, your whole song.
They got two.
Quite another thing to rip off two
Werewolves from
rock
London
riffs.
And Sweet Home Alabama.
It's just so dumb. Skip this crap. Get it off my radio. Get it out of here. That's a skip.
Hate it.
Wow.
Singing Sweet Home Alabama all summer long. On the way out.
No, we're not.
On the way out, Permar. I'll give you a dealer's choice. You want to talk about golf or do you want to talk about Super Regionals?
Oof. Let's go golf. Let's go golf.
Okay. How interested are you in the PGA Tour Live Golf story? Do you think it seems like one of those stories to me that maybe a lot of people in the media like talking about, but fans probably don't care that much about? What is your interest level?
I can agree to the sense that, like, average dude that just turns on his TV wants to see, you know, just like you do any other non-major, actually even major weekends. When you go to turn on your TV on the weekend, you want to see big names on the leaderboard, right? Like, it sucks when you turn in to a U.S. Open and it's a bunch of nobodies at the top. And so I think that the average fan was mad that it was just, you know, decreasing the chance at most televised events that you were going to see the biggest names at the top, including Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, others. But I do think there is some interest in this story. And I'm not claiming like no fan's going to not watch the next major because they're mad at golf or even the next golf tournament. I don't mean in any of that sense. But I just mean there is interest in like how quickly the PGA, you know like how high a ground they tried to take and how quickly they conceded it to the detriment of some players that, like, if this was what it's going to be, give us the heads up and let us just get some of this money, right? I mean, I think that is a story there and how it plays out moving forward for that. Even Tiger Woods, like, I'm sure he'll chime in and not say a whole lot about it. But to the human interest side of me, which is what always draws me to sports, I'm very curious about the relationship between the people who run the PGA Tour and the people who play on it, especially the ones who stuck their neck out to help, you know, save the tour from being sucked under even earlier than they were.
Enjoy Bruce Hornsby tonight, Hayes. We'll talk to you next week.
I will. Now, if I found out once I owned a theater, people just start giving me free tickets to stuff. So I'm getting even more free tickets to things than I normally do. I believe you've given me a free ticket or two over the years. And so now I'm just awash in free tickets. So
well,
that's my life.
Pass it along.
Will do. Come to Raleigh sometime soon.